The scriptures for the day are on the back of your bulletin, as well as some space there if you'd like to take some notes. So I know some of you like to think about these things when you go home, and so I've provided a little space there for you to take some notes. Today, my message is based on two scriptures, 1 John 3:1 and Galatians 4:4 through 7, which I'll be sharing with you in just a little bit. Did you have a nickname growing up? You know, those little names that your buddies or your girlfriends or parents even may have given you. I did. I had several of them. When I was young, a lot of folks called me Freddy, which was okay. I didn't mind that. But when I turned 25, I didn't think Freddy was exactly appropriate, but it stuck. At least with my mother. My mother sometimes still calls me Freddy. There were other nicknames. Some of you probably remember Red Skelton. There was a guy on there by the name of Freddy the Freeloader. Yeah, I got that a couple of times. I still get Dunkin' Donuts a lot when I tell them my last name is Duncan. You know, oh, you're Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. Dunk, I used to call my grandfather Dunk, and it kind of stuck with me as well. And then Chipmunk came from somewhere. I think it was a group of guys I worked with. I was fat back then, and I had big cheeks, and they thought I looked like a chipmunk with nuts in my cheeks, I guess. Whatever. But the guys that I hung around with had some interesting nicknames, too, as I'm sure yours did. I remember Woody Hudson, who worked at the Acme store, and Smokey, who worked at the IGA store with me, and Bird Dog, who was a guy I went to school with. Yeah, Bird Dog. Pep, which was short for Pepper, and that was David Pepper, by the way, if anybody knew David Pepper. He was one of my best friends. Slick and Wolfie. These were the guys that I grew up with. And I'm sure you all had nicknames and friends with names very similar to that. Some of them were not worth repeating, so I won't even share those. But some of you responded to my sermon question of the week and wrote back some interesting nicknames that you had or have. Elizabeth Fields wrote back and said that people called her Betty, which of course is a kind of a nickname for Elizabeth. She didn't care for it too much, but she, you know, dealt with it, and she preferred to be called Elizabeth or Liz instead. Linda Gallup, who attends our 9 o'clock service, whose maiden name was Ford, and she says in college they called her Fordsy or Lynn in some cases. Leslie Bauer, who, of course, you know, has Pups of Lewis down on 2nd Street and a member of our church and attends the 8 o'clock service, didn't mind being called Les. In fact, I sometimes, you know, I always like to abbreviate people's names and shorten their names, and I've called her Les several times since I've been here. There's one member of our church, in fact, he's on our staff, who has the nickname of Ducky. I wonder if you can guess who that is. Anybody? No? Mike Duckworth. Mike Duckworth. He picked that up, I think, in the Navy, they said. And then, of course, there's Chip Brittingham, who's here with us. And if you want to know what his real name is, I'm not going to repeat it. You can find it in the church directory. And then there's Bunny Palmer. Where's Bunny? I thought I saw Bunny this morning. Is Bunny here? Yeah, yeah. She's here. Bunny Palmer. Bunny. For those of you that are visiting with us maybe for the first time or have not been here regularly, this is the second week of a four-part sermon series that I'm doing based on the movie The Blind Side. And many of you have shared that you have seen the movie The Blind Side. And I encourage you that if you haven't, that you watch it. We still have two more sermons to go in this series. And regardless of that, it's a great, great movie. It's one of those feel-good movies, a movie that really touches your heart. Well, the scene that I want to focus on, and unfortunately we don't have a big screen in here, not yet. Anyway, we won't go there. But the scene that I want to focus on today is a scene where Big Mike, you know, he's the main character, Michael Oher, is riding in the car with Leanne Toomey, who is played by Sandra Bullock in the movie. And they're trying to get Michael some clothes and get him situated, and they're having a conversation as they ride around town. And she's pumping him for information. She wants to know more about Michael. And he's not saying anything. He doesn't say anything. He's not sharing anything because, well, frankly, it's just too painful for Michael to share his family and share his past. For you see, he's the child, one of 13 children, whose mother is a crack addict. And she's had all these kids by different fathers. And in fact, Michael doesn't even know his real name until his father dies, his real father dies, and they find out in a roundabout way. And he grew up in a very, very depressed, very depressed area of West Memphis called Hurt Village, which was adequately named by the crime and the drug and the gang infestation in that part of town. Michael also grew up in different foster homes and was bounced around from home to home. So, but Leanne is persistent. If you've seen the movie, Leanne always gets her way, it seems. She's very pushy. She's very assertive. And she asks him basically, she says, well, who takes care of you, Michael, or Big Mike? Who takes care of you? No response. So she says, okay, we can do this either the hard way or the easy way. And she says, just tell me one thing about you. Just tell me one thing about you. And he looks at her and he tells her, I don't like to be called Big Mike. She says, okay, fair enough. From now on, to me, you're going to be Michael. From now on, you're going to be Michael. And so the story goes on. Big Mike, Michael, comes to live with the Tuohys. And I believe that this change of names was symbolic and certainly profound for our message today. In Michael's case, it symbolized a new direction in Michael Ower's life. He's welcomed into the home of this rich white family. And because of the love shown to him by this family, Michael Ower becomes part of the Tuohy family. He's given the same rights and privileges as the Tuohys' own children, S.J. and Collins. And those same children look to Michael as their big, and I mean big brother. Michael's transformation began when someone paid attention to him, when someone shared love with him and cared about him and took him in. And I think it started with the name, the change of the name. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. It was changing names and what that means to us as Christians. And as I looked at these scriptures today, I gleaned three very important truths from these scriptures that can help us understand our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, a little better. And that this movie helps us to see it maybe in a little clearer light. The first truth, I think, is that we are given a new name by God. We are given a new name by God. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that there are several instances where God changed the name of people. You'll recall that Abram became Abraham, and his wife Sarai became Sarah. Jacob, a little later, became Israel. Very good, very good. We got some Bible students here. Peter was also called Simon and Cephas. And then probably the most familiar is Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. That's right. But why? Why did God see fit to change these people's names? Well, scholars aren't exactly sure, but it's believed that it was so that they could have a new identity. For you see, God was going to use them. God was going to work through them and fulfill His plan through them. For instance, Abram meant high father, but the name Abraham means father of many nations. The name Sarai means my princess, but Sarah means mother of nations. Jacob literally means supplanter or trickster or deceiver. And we know, in fact, that's what Jacob did to his brother Isaac. He cheated him out of his birthright. But it was changed to Israel. And the name Israel means having power with God. Jesus sometimes called Peter Simon and other times Peter. But back and forth they went. Probably because Peter also, from time to time, liked to act like his old self. And Jesus probably referred to him as Peter when he wasn't his best, and maybe Simon when he was being obedient and faithful. Maybe. And then there was Paul, or more accurately, Saul, who God gave a new name to after he encountered the living, risen Christ. On what road? Anybody remember? The Damascus Road. That's exactly right. For you see, God was now going to give Paul new marching orders. Paul was no longer going to be a persecutor of Christians, but in fact would go and build the churches of Asia Minor and Macedonia. Many, many churches were started by the Apostle Paul. And we have the Apostle Paul to thank for nearly half of our New Testament. It's not really clear why God did this, but maybe it was to let them know that they were destined for a new direction in life. A new name was God's way of letting them in on God's divine plan and to assure them that God's plan would be fulfilled through them. And maybe, just maybe, this was the case with Michael Oher as well, that God's plan for Michael could be lived through this name change. One of today's two scripture readings can help us see that when we accept God's gift of grace, and when we're baptized in God's name, we take on a new identity. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." See what love God has poured out, has just overwhelmed us with, lavished upon us. I love that word, lavished. It is so beautiful and has such great impact